Live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
As you know, on a Wednesday, Ntabi Singh Dubazana joins us and graces us with her wonderful presence. She's in studio, and if you have any questions whatsoever or any legal matter, please shout. It's all free until she leaves the studio, okay? 086-000-959. WhatsApp notes on 063-688-0959. Ntabi Singh, good evening and welcome.
Good evening, good evening. Nice to be back.
All right, I don't think anybody heard you.
Am I good now?
Okay, say hello again.
Good evening. Nice to be back.
Sounds slightly better. I think you're slightly slow, but slightly low, we'll try and sort that out.
All right.
But it's always wonderful to have you. This case, ne? Mboro.
Oh, yeah.
This case, ne? We've spoken about this so many times.
We have spoken about this so many times,
and I think people still have lots and lots of questions about. I actually had questions,
yeah.
Even though you have schooled us. I have questions about the fact that, you know, there was a decision. Tabi saying, let's quickly get through this. There was a decision, and I don't know who makes these decisions. Maybe you can help us. There was a decision by somebody. Department of Education says it was not them. Social Development did not take this decision.
Yeah,
but somebody decides that the two children who were in the, is it custody is the right word?
Primary care. Yeah.
Okay. Who were in the primary care of their maternal grandmother were now moved to paternal grandparents. And that was not the decision by social development. So I'm so confused.
I wish I knew everything, but
who makes a call on it? Like in a case like this, whose responsibility is it?
As long as the parents are alive.
No, the other parent is not alive.
The one who's remaining.
Yes.
That's their full rights and responsibilities. So I think we've also spoken about this quite some a lot in that. It's irrelevant what custom says. It's irrelevant what tradition says. If unasanta mahadi or tenyo or whatever the case may be, for the deceased, if it's the man, from my understanding, it's the father that's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
So even if he hadn't finished hunta tenyo or anything of the sort, the rights and
it's a biological parent,
correct?
Right? So that stands.
Yes, that stands. The only time that something like this would happen is if there has been some kind of court case that shows that he is not capable of being the primary caregiver of the minors, and as a result, the minors are now staying with the maternal grandparents.
All right, let's clarify a few things. I'll tell you the details as I know them. No?
Okay.
The facts. The facts are that the biological mother passed away in July. Then, so what I don't know, and I'm assuming, this is just an assumption, I'm assuming that the biological mother was perhaps maybe living with the grandmother,
perhaps.
Maybe it was the obvious thing because the mother passes away and then the family takes over.
Yeah,
I want to ask whether, if that were the case, let's say if that were the case, and I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying if it were the case, because I don't know what living arrangement they had before she passed away.
Mm-hmm.
If that were the case, would the biological father have to go the legal route to apply for custody, or the minute the one parent passes away, automatically what's supposed to happen is that the children must now be moved to the other parent?
Automatically, in theory, it's supposed to be exactly that.
Okay.
But unfortunately, which is what I've always said so much, is that fighting for dads in our court system is very, very hard. So he would have to, unfortunately, go through the court system and say that, listen, mom is no longer here. I am automatically the primary caregiver of these kids. And over and above that, I have been present in these children's lives. We hope that he's been present in these children's lives. It's not like they're going to be living with a stranger. And therefore, I want to take over the responsibilities where mom left over. And then you guys can have access and have visitations and what have you. They don't have any rights over the children. Guardianship can't be conferred to them unless it's through a court. And also if the parent is deemed to be incapable of doing his job as a parent.
Okay, so the the current guardians, let's call them the current guardians,
yeah.
or were, because they've moved now.
Yeah.
The maternal grandmother.
Yeah.
Were themselves supposed to approach the court if they felt they were the ones who were supposed to
correct.
Approach the court if they felt that the other parent was not fit
correct
to be the guardian
correct.
Of the children.
Correct. So okay. they would state and say that based on this and this and this part of the history, the children have been residing with us anyway while mom was still alive. So we would like for this to continue, for us to be their primary caregivers and dad to have access as per whatever arrangement that existed prior to mom passing. So that can be conferred upon them by a court of law. And then they can continue on with life as is. But it seems that never happened. The customs probably or tradition took over that Hawanyalangwanaka or Hawantamahadi and Tenyo, sorry, and therefore the child will remain here with us until you do the right thing, which is not what the law states.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So the people who should have gone to the law were the guardians.
Correct.
So to
the
speak.
Grandparents, yeah. Yeah. That's the first thing they should have done. So now unfortunately it ended up the way that it did.
Would it have made a difference if the mother had left instruction in by way of a will? Nothing.
No, as long as the biological parent is still alive.
You would have to prove. She would have had to go to the court herself.
Correct.
And prove that this biological parent is not fit to parent
correct.
These
children. That's section 25, if I'm not mistaken, of the Children's Act to say that I would like that the court strip this particular parent of their rights and responsibilities because of X, Y, and Z. Mm. And it has to be extremely exceptional circumstances for a court to strip any parent of any right, because the courts at the end of the day are the upper guardians of all minors, and the best interests of the children are always paramount to the individuals, which is mom and dad. So if the court feels like it would not be in the best interest of the minor to deprive dad and child of a relationship, then they will not grant that order. It has to be so extreme that continuing any sort of relationship would harm the minors, and therefore they will grant the order for the rights and responsibilities to be removed.
Okay, now let's get to the interesting bit.
Yeah.
So we've dealt with what should have happened.
Yes.
But where I'm confused now, no other person has automatic rights.
Yes.
Ne?
Yes.
The living biological parent is now in jail.
Yeah.
How do we get to the conclusion that he now, does he have the first right of deciding where the children should be?
Yes.
He does.
He does.
So it's him who must give directive to where the children must go, even if he's in custody.
It ought to be, yes. It ought to be. But the way in which we saw the video happen, I think I saw towards the end of that video that it seemed like it was him that was pulling the children away at the end.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
So if that was him, then that argument might not work for him.
But we would have to wait for the court to
correct.
Happen. So in the meantime, because that case has not happened
yes.
in the court, he still has the right to decide.
Yes.
What happens to the children?
Yes.
Just so that everybody's on the same page.
Yes.
So the idea that the children are with his mother.
Yeah.
It's above board.
Yes.
Legally.
Yes.
Because he, as the biological parent, has every right to make a call about the circumstances of
correct
the children.
So, yeah.
That's why they're not with the maternal grandmother.
Correct. Correct. Yeah.
086-00-00959. Now in the WhatsApp note is 0636-88-0959. Folks, any questions, right? Because we don't have to get to a point where you're wielding machetes before to didipanga. Eh? We don't have to get to a point where on the AK-47 before to. Huh? We can try help you with this thing. Tell us what your problem is. Maybe there's a more dignified way you can get help. Eh? Because he didn't have to.
No, he really didn't have to.
The law gives him every right.
Correct. Correct. It's just unfortunate. Sasari
pangatona was not necessary. Kichofela, for dignity alone.
Please.
Guys, it's all of this was not necessary.
Yeah.
He had every right
yeah.
to his child.
Yeah.
Ne?
Yeah. 100%. And it's just that, unfortunately, schools tend to take the side of the mother or whoever says that don't allow Pimelo to go and get this child, and then it becomes a whole mess. But yes, he has all those rights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so if he had gone to the police, if he had done the right thing, it would have been fine.
Yes, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, no, he didn't need panga. He really, it was so unnecessary.
Yeah, very unnecessary.
No, it was unnecessary. Okay. Ntabi saying you also want to touch on something about de-warning, né?
Yes.
Written verbal warnings and so on in the workplace.
Yes.
And what warrants someone to getting a warning?
Yes.
Tell us.
So, I am dealing with a very interesting case wherein a client of mine, I got permission to talk about this. He was issued with a notice of a hearing and the final written warning all in the same day.
Hey man, so warning and final
written warning. It was given a notice for a disciplinary hearing. Sorry, notice for a disciplinary hearing,
uh-huh.
And then on the very same day, given a final.
Were there two other warnings before that?
No.
Oh, can it be the first and final?
It can, depending on the code of conduct. But here's where the problem is.
Mm.
Now, remember, I think I've mentioned this a few times, that whenever you are in a workplace, your employer needs to tell you what the code of conduct is for the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to make it available to you so that you know what you should or should not do at all times. Again. Mm. So with that having been said, that code of conduct shows the sanctions that are applicable to whatever kind of behavior.
Mm.
Some behaviors warrant a verbal warning, which leads to a written warning, which leads to a final written warning, which may lead to a dismissal. Others are so serious, it can be from the very first occasion, it is a final written warning because it is deemed to be serious.
Like that guy we spoke to the other day.
Yes.
Okay.
So now what happens most of the time is that these things are not necessarily done by the employer.
Mm.
The employer, one, does not inform its employees what the code of conduct is in the workspace.
Mm.
That's the first thing. Second thing, they do not afford employees the opportunity to understand that they have rights within the workplace. So in other words, what I'm talking about in this particular matter, when a notice was given to this employee to come and appear in a disciplinary hearing, they should have been given 48 hours for them to prepare themselves for this hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And then should they need to call a representative?
Yes, yes. They would have
witnesses,
all the support.
All
they
those
needed.
Things. Yeah. But instead, there was here's a notice.
And final.
In fact, a final written warning.
Okay. Wait, hold it there. Hold it there. Zali is in Kempton Park. Hello, Zali.
What's the matter, Ligai?
Erden Ligai, Zali.
Good to meet you.
Hmm.
Legally was quite too much.
No, I cannot tell the bill, but
that's it. So I'm gonna throw a spanner.
Sharp.
In this whole little thing.
Mm.
What if more we are not being told about the war of the life cover? The war of the life cover of the mother.
Life cover.
Explain what you mean.
So what I'm saying is, what if the war is a because life cover
it doesn't matter.
Or if you keep the children, life cover
this is why we haven't been saying here. This is why we have this show. Because when Azali, hore mang unali cover, life cover, mang hana life cover, mang utokra granti, mang agre granti. The law says the biological parent, whether ki musadi or ki munna, has the first right and responsibility of the children. It doesn't matter. Alena right, dilona batswadi bo anti bo nkhono, nothing.
Osintabi.
Mhm.
Here's my question.
Yeah.
Yano, if batu dilong khona ka dingkhono di mistress go sekolong sele. From what I understand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's where she was keeping them and abuti nana le ba bitsa ndading le go kuba go ntlu
eviction
ya gore skatla.
Or protection order.
Protection order.
Yeah.
There we go. So, I'm asking from Osin Kabi as a Leonard friend, right?
Hori,
does it not prohibit you from claiming for those things if you have that prohibition? Hori, unali this thing, hori uskata gontu. That's why I'm asking from a point of not knowing, by the way.
Okay.
And I want to know, Hori, Maybe in Tangoba, because Nazi was, that's the only place where he could go. I'm not condemning the AKL, the Panga.
Mm.
I'm only asking from a point of, is that the only place he could get the kids? And maybe if there's a life cover involved, is there a point of saying, if Kabatsa, life cover as well?
Okay.
And I'm asking from a person who doesn't understand law, a person who doesn't know anything about what's happening in current affairs, Kibuta from Mikaiwako Kasi.
Okay. Eriku Arabeso, when it comes to the protection order, yes, or correct. If protection order, Eri, I can't go into Nyama Gogo to go get the kids, ne? Therefore, Hakia Monun, I'll be violating the protection order, Maponesa Atlatlontuar. Yes, the only place that he could get the children, ke skolo. The downside, yeah, that Kurabani, most of the time when such an order exists between parties, they take that order to the school, and then the school, yeah, adopt as if Kia Bona, whereas the protection order only relates to the house and not to the individual that is the child, Moskolo, Wankutlisis. So, yes, I agree fully. The Panga leading, they were not necessary, but that could have been the only way where he has access, Hobana, right? But then when it comes to the issues of the life covers and deceased estates are something that is dealt with in a different way completely. Ne? So, if mama, when she died, unanani a will, and in that will, unabuilo unani life cover, and she wants X, Y, and Z to happen, get the life cover. That's exactly what's going to happen. But if mama, when she died, she did not have a will at all, and there was no one who was exactly nominated as a beneficiary of that will, that amount is going to go into what we call an estate late account. And that account will be distributed to the heirs. The heirs in this situation would be the minor children, because from what I can gather, they were not married with the dad.
Mm.
So if that's the case, the heirs are the children. And if the children, there has to be a guardian that is appointed to then deal with that money. But if no one is trusted enough to deal with that money, the master has a guardian's fund where the money will go, and they can be paid out by the school fees, and it's not being held by any particular person. But it doesn't stop the fact that somebody can go and fraudulently go and claim. It happens more often than not. But hasohu rabani, because kisorebana, therefore I will get a life cover.
Let me take a quick break. Temba, I'll see you. I'm going to be back with you in a short while.
086-00-00-959. WhatsApp note is 063-688-0959. So behind the scenes, Yantabi saying can't breathe. We just need to give him a minute to catch her breath, because yeah, some of our questions are quite shocking. Temba in Heidelberg, we'll come back to you. Yantabi saying take a breath and take a sip of water. Temba, hi. Hello, Temba.
Morning, my sister. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, my lady. Yes, and morning again. Morning also to your guest.
Morning, Dad.
In the house.
Good morning, Dad.
Good morning, my lady. Without waste of time, I will speak to what. Well, in fact, it is a comment, you know. It may not. Give a comment on the basis of this story of Pastor Mbozo in Katuhong. Well, my comment may not be accurately based on the legal factors, but I suppose there is quite a number of things to be to be taken into account, you know, or about this man, you know. In fact, there are things that I find to be somewhat mind-boggling, you know. Because, one, this man, he had option, you know, to go to the maternally grandparents of his grandkids and maybe negotiate the lobola payment so that he may get the custody of his grandkids, but he decided to overlook that, is at my point.
Yeah.
And then maybe out of manufacturers, maybe if I may raise the last one, I get my point. This one, he could afford any legal representative, and luckily enough, Advocate Gavan has already considered that the case was winnable right from the word go, but he decided to take somewhat of special and barbaric avenues. I don't know who advised him to do that. I don't know, you know. And in fact, I hardly think he even dared to consult with any legal experts, you know, about this thing, you know. Maybe his bodyguard, the one who was involved, who was also involved in that matter, or his son himself is the one who might have advised him, you know, that man, let's just take arms and do what we can do. You know, I don't know. Maybe at the back of his mind, he didn't know that the case was winnable. You know, I don't know.
Thanks, man, Temba. Thank you. Thank you very much, Temba, for your take. I mean, this is such an important point you made.
Yeah.
Really? Was it necessary? Let's take a voice note.
My question, I've got a question regarding resignation. A person, this guy, one of my colleagues, served a resignation, 30 days, served it. Like, that's what actually he did. However, after he completed serving the notice, he moved to his new job abroad. When he moves abroad, then he received an email saying that he's got no complete uniform that was returned. He was supposed to return a uniform. But this guy, Scott, proved that he has submitted the uniform that he had at that time. Now they are looking for things like T-shirts. T-shirts is an underwear. Yes, they provide T-shirts for underneath garments. They're looking for socks and everything. Now, do they have a right to freeze or to hold his resignation not to go through? That's the question.
Oh, I see.
That doesn't make sense. I got it. That doesn't make sense.
Hi, guys.
No, man, the employer must make, HR must make us understand, hurry, when they give you uniform, socks and inner garments and all of that are supposed to come back. Because I have never heard of a company wanting socks back. What's about? No, man, that doesn't make sense.
So, what was the question?
Whether or not they have a right to hold on to his resignation.
Tamisek, I get it. Once you've... Hey, my daughter. So, do I need an acceptance letter of my resignation for me to get another job?
You've served your notice according to the LRA. If your notice period, the notice period that is given is 30 days. Ne? Some companies want to give you 60 days per their code of conduct and whatnot, but you can always drop it down to the 30 days. And once that is done, you have done your part. You've already resigned. Whether they accepted or not, they already accepted when you gave the notice. You were just serving out the time. So there's no such thing as we are holding on to you not leaving.
But does it hamper his efforts to get a new job?
The reason that he resigned means he's accepted that side. They're just giving him the 30 days. So if the new job is now saying, hurry, we can't take you because they're saying you haven't finished work that side, then that's something completely different.
I man, to me, I don't get it goes. It's this thing sometimes. Aye, man, Baba. Sometimes these things don't need complicated lawyers. Let's buy the socks.
No, it's unnecessary though.
Let's put together money to buy the socks. I mean, why would you want legal advice? Let's buy the socks. The socks, they are shorter. Let's buy the socks.
I highly doubt it's a company policy to bring back socks. I seriously doubt it.
Perhaps they want him back.
Then maybe make him a better offer here, not hold socks over his head.
No, they want the socks. unless if your friend is not telling us everything. They want the socks and what? We must either put together money to buy the socks so that your friend can be released and just move on.
Because yeah.
Unless if there's something else we're missing here.
Yeah, because it makes no sense. The fact that he spent already the 30 days, it means he's been accepted that side anyway. Mm-hmm. So whether they don't want to give him a letter...
It can't be the socks.
There must be something else.
I mean, unless what could possibly happen and maybe is happening, they may be holding on to some of his money.
Most likely. Mm. Most likely. But for the girls...
Because, yes. But like child, that's one of the girls. Maybe?
No. Maybe. That's still unfair. Maybe unfair labor, everything.
Tell him to authorize them to take the socks money.
And just on the socks money, get 100,000.
Mm.
You see.
Okay. So let's get back to the issue of the written warning.
Yes.
And you were saying that the employer decided to issue written warning plus the first and final.
Yes. But here's the thing, they missed a very important step, which is the notice period.
Mm.
I need to be able to buelela from whatever charge that you're there, you're accusing me of. And in that notice that you're going to give somebody for a disciplinary hearing or disciplinary inquiry, you need to state the charge. Hore, Ntabi saying you violated clause mamang in our code of conduct, which states X, Y, and Z by failing to do blah, 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 blah. And such thing was not done.
Does he... you've seen the contract?
I have.
Do you suspect this was constructive dismissal?
They were actually pushing it towards that.
Mm.
They were pushing it towards that, and then this person luckily stood their ground to say, but this doesn't make sense.
Ah.
X, Y, and Z does not make sense. And then when that person picked it up and then voiced it out, you know what they did? A week down the line, they gave him... They termed it final and official written warning as an alternative to dismissal.
Mm-hmm.
No such thing exists in our law. I don't know where they get that term from. And also in that very same letter, it states that an inquiry was held on the very same day that the notice, the final
and
written
concluded.
Warning, and concluded. Where was the notice for me to prepare myself for this hearing? And where does it, what are the charges? What did I violate?
They didn't have the charges.
They didn't have the charges. I don't know what I violated. You're saying it's gross misconduct. Okay, but what did I do? What did I violate? Which part of your code of conduct did I not listen to? Was there any remedial things that were put in place to show that you're trying to get me back to the path that you want me to get back onto? And then over and above that, they then say, we're even demoting you from this position to that position.
Oh,
you're going
wow.
to be earning X amount from now on for 3 months until you correct your behavior. But what behavior am I correcting? Based on what? What do you need me to do? What is happening, basically?
So, in the event that you want to keep your job,
yes,
and clearly they want you out
yeah.
or frustrate you to leave,
yeah.
like in this instance,
mm.
what's his best plan forward legally? What rights does he have and what recourse does he have?
Straight to the CCMA. That's unfair labor practice in every way possible, because the demotion is already procedurally and substantively unfair. The notices, all of them, the final written warnings, everything that they have done to date is all unfair in terms of Labor Relations Act. And therefore, the CCMA would be the proper platform for this person to go and raise their issues. I also would add, as a side, that go and report the business itself to the labor department.
You still want your job? That was my where I started. Maybe let me make it clear. These are the people who you still want
to pay
employ.
You.
So you want to go to the CCMA and report them.
I'm a society.
Okay, now I'm just making it clear. So my boss, ne.
Mm.
I must go to the CCMA to tell the CCMA this is unfair labor practice.
Yes.
And still report them. And still keep my job. Explain how that works in the
how
real
are they
world.
Gonna, how are they going to then dismiss
you? No, in the real world. Tell
in the
me,
real world,
how
yeah.
does that work?
No, in the real world, honestly, most of the time, if you even give a breath towards Hoikia CCMA, then they tell you, pack your bags and go. And then you get scared to go do it. I know this happens. I know for a fact. But they can't do it. This is what I'm trying to say.
They cannot do it,
legally speaking. You can take them to the cleaners. And the reason that I say report them to the labor department and get an official to go into the business and actually inspect if they're doing things accordingly, you will find that most employers who do stuff like this don't pay UIF. They don't pay any and everything that is a workman's compensation, all of those things. And then when you're retiring or you're leaving the job after 15 years and you're parting ways and whatnot, you find out that you never had any benefits. Your pay slip said this and this and this, but now that you're trying to claim, it never was paid. So it's very unscrupulous what happens in the workspace. So just now after 20 years and you decide, or they do officially dismiss you for whatever reason, how will you claim your UIF or Makala? What are you talking about? Because we don't know who you are. There's nothing on the system in relation to you. So at least the labor department would have been there to try and clean up that mess. I'm not saying you won't be a target.
And definitely you would lose your job. It's just
put it out there.
Keep it real. You are for sure going to lose your job. I mean, there's no two ways. They don't even mind going through the CCMA route, but lose your job, you will.
Yeah.
They will probably give you an offer or something.
Yeah.
I've got a voice note coming through.
I worked for a company that retrenched us, and part of the retrenchment clause was LIFO, and I was one of the last people to come in. So I had no choice but to take the package, or else I was going to lose out on the retrenchment package. However, part of that package was that the company will upskill us. They'll get us into courses or things like that to try and upskill us while it's going under. The company subsequently came back up, recruited some people. I've sent an email to the HR, it's still the same HR. I've asked about that program, and they said it's still underway. This was maybe 2 years ago. When I asked again last year, I had no feedback from the same HR. I asked this year again, still no feedback. So I wanted to find out, is there legal recourse that I can take? I'm still unemployed. I didn't get an upskilling. And I'm over the age of 35, so I'm considered a dinosaur, so I can't get employment as quickly as I'd like to. So I wanted to find out, is the way of forcing these guys, since they're back now, operational and all, to hire me back or push them to push that program that they promised as part of the retrenchment package. Thanks.
That's interesting. So if the package was something that was signed for and it was, therefore it is binding both the employer and the employee, so it can't be a situation of it's coming. I would be interested to know whether there was a time frame that was put when the upskilling and stuff will happen. If not, then it's a situation of, you know, you keeping to pester the employer to get what is needed. But what I think I don't understand is, did he say that he got this package as an alternative to retrenchment, or it was part of the retrenchment package?
What we can do, I also have a few questions. So let's try see if we can't get him on the line so that we can assist him properly. Let's take, in the meantime, Didi in Germiston. Hi, Didi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling, Didi.
Yes, my question is to Ntabi. I got granted the right and responsibility on my daughter. So obviously the father is on the birth certificate.
Yes, ma'am.
What I want to understand is, now that I've been granted that, can I use that to go to my office and actually get her passport?
Maybe let me ask what you mean by you got granted. Do you have primary care and he doesn't have access at all?
Yes, that's what the order is saying, because he hasn't been in the daughter's life for the past 8 years, and I don't even know where to find him. Why I went that way.
And the High Court has removed all rights and responsibilities, and you are the sole custodian of the rights and responsibilities.
Yes, on the letter, that's what it's saying.
Is it a letter or a court order?
So I went to child court and they interviewed the child. They followed the process. Then I was contacted to child court. That complete right. It says complete right and responsibility over the child. And it was because I was avoiding this discussion that you're having now to say if I had to die tomorrow, my family wouldn't be able to legally say anything.
Okay, I think there's a problem there, because even though you have the rights and responsibilities of the child, it does not say that those rights and responsibilities are removed from the dad, like he's stripped of them completely. That's where the issue
is.
It does say that. Oh, okay. Then if it says that and it's a court order, then you're fine. You can go to Home Affairs and do what you need to do.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I want to do.
All right, then.
Thank you, Didi.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
No problem.
All right. We've got Mpo. I think you're okay with us saying your name, Mpo?
Yes, it's Mpo.
Okay, Mpo in Springs. Okay, Mpo is the one that sent a voice note. No?
Okay.
So you've got some questions for Mpo.
Yes.
Thanks for calling, Mpo.
Mpo, how are you?
I'm okay, myself.
Good, thank you. Mpo, I wanted to understand, were you given the retrenchment package as an alternative to actual retrenchment, or as you were retrenched, this was what was part of the package?
That was part of the package.
So
we were retrenched.
So you were retrenched and then you were informed that you're going to be given an upskill while you're not within the workspace.
Yes, that's correct.
Oh.
I took the package because I was one of the last people that was in, and part of that package said at LIFO.
Mm.
Yeah, last in, first out, and some of the people that actually didn't take it didn't get the package.
Oh, I see.
Oh, okay. All right. And all parties had signed it, including the employer and yourself?
Yes.
All right, then you can take it to the CCMA for enforcement, because it is binding upon them. And was there any time frame that was put in the document, or it just said you'll be upskilled?
If I believe correctly, it had a bit of a time frame, because this happened around COVID times.
Yeah.
So it didn't have, I wouldn't say a specific time frame, but it had a time frame saying in a year's time, or in 6 months' time, that program should start.
Okay.
And it never materialized. Hence, I said, I called back the HR, and the HR manager told me that they're still in the process of finalizing everything. This is when the company just began coming back up. And when I checked again, I'm just getting booted.
No, then you can take it to court and have it enforced. I'm not sure if the CCMA will be the correct platform in such a situation, because you're not an employee anymore. But however, there is an agreement that is in existence. So you can actually try and swing it with the CCMA, because I'm considering costs of taking it to an actual court, the labor court to be specific, for an enforcement of that kind. It might end up being expensive, but I think you can try and swing the CCMA to say that when this agreement was made, you were an employee and these were the conditions that were set, and therefore in that context the CCMA would have a jurisdiction to hear the matter. I'm not saying it might work, but I think you may be able to do it.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks, Mpo. Thank you so much, and all
thank
the best.
Thank you so much.
Let's take quick break. We'll be back with more of your calls on 086-00-00959. We can also look at those voice notes on 063-688-0959. Tabi Seng Dubazana is here. All right, thanks so much for staying with us. Thank you for calling in and for sending those voice notes. Keep them coming. We'll get to them. I want to start here with Ismail in Krugersdorp. Hello, Ismail.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. I need to comment regarding the issue Yabana. And I'll be quick, because I have the other second issue, labor relation.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yabana, I need to understand with the law, where does the cultural part comes in? Because normally when it's a boyfriend and a girlfriend, they are not married, and then hoban along one. Will grow naturally because they are not married. Now, I understand, or I'm not talking about Papa will remain the biological parent. But I should think Oyakana is biological parent because Otsani a support regardless whether me uteng or me utoko face. Now when it comes to the rights tabona to own a one, onale seeds or more on a saying or need to take place. He can't just come and take one because my daughter has passed on. It doesn't work that way. This is where this guy was supposed to have approached to our Melo Malome was a representative to the family to say Roberto who is someone power papa uting me utoko feta kulele kamoron instead of re ya support kolon. And that's where then the discussions comes in. Now, the way they then got things come along, or no, no talk of it. So that is biological, and all right, young one of Santa Ecoyen and so forth and so forth. But we're forgetting the part that Wana had Abelejo, Asanyal. There's a lot of responsibilities that will be carried by the mother and possibly the grandparents. My long or sometimes the boyfriends, they just walk away without even contributing anything to the child. But suddenly, when the other party is Kokofal, then suddenly, automatically now, and this is where that part of your culture, I think, comes in to say, it cannot be automatically or not take over one because there are certain rights in within culture that you have to follow. I should think that's the part Melon Mulawarona misses that because once among di ntshotsana tatse leng gore tshwantse di etsiwe tse di entse mo ngwaneng kana ke ngwana belegwa on this side and then on that side ka mo batsa makereke on that side ba na le tsa bona tse ba phelang ka tsona and ngwana a setsa go dilo bona le di confusion tsa gore there's something that went missing somewhere along the line,
you know.
So that was the part in what the contributor my own. Can I quickly move on to
no before Zamaya, Ishmael, you know, you make such an important point, ne? And for me, these are the tensions between this constitutional law and us.
Yes.
These for me are the tensions that we don't want to admit. And when we hear the rhetoric, oh, we've got the best constitution in the world, we forget.
Mm-hmm.
We forget about things that matter to us the most, because these are the things at the heart of our who we are. These things matter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the law doesn't take these things into consideration.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all. That's my concern, and this is why I'm saying, because we know it doesn't take concerns into that. Rona, as parents, we need to exercise those, because those are the things that Batswadi ba Rona or even the great great grandparents have been living in within those things.
Yep.
Because if they don't, then mushimano muloma kana tsamaitsa ngwana a motlaim a tsa ngwana a motlaim a tsa ngwana a motlaim.
Exactly.
You see. And now what about your daughter osa nyalwa?
And the problem, Ismail, is that hosala, unfortunately o feletsa lo tronko when you follow setso sa rona o tlo feletsa lo tronko ba re hona le barking there's an what a family meeting, the bigger family meeting that's coming, what's it called, ba bizan ba re leng, and it's not an indaba, it's going to be what national dialogue.
National dialogue, yeah
itlang. It, come, people, and tell them about the kinds of laws and constitutions that don't consider
that to be considered.
Correct.
I agree.
Our cultural practices. Yeah.
And here's the sad thing is that customary law is supposed to be developed and incorporated into our law. The thing is that the traditional leaders who are in charge of this part do not actively do it.
Yes.
So in the Children's Act, for example, but it is included there that it works to your benefit, not only it is a requirement, but it works to your benefit if tenyo in tizwe towards the minor child if there is no marriage between mom and dad, but it is not a requirement. So Wabona, that's where things are kind of up in the air. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay, and Ntateko, your other question?
Yeah, just another quick one. Kinalim Chanaga, you work for some financial institution, the policy and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an incident that happened outside the workplace. Okay. A colleague who dropped the card, and then I pick up a card.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, she did not cut it because I was a call center.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of obviously, abathe monga khate o a check or e ka belo re tswa ka or I said banking or anje some responsibility so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
No, she went on and spent a bit of some money on that cash, and then ya tlotlhaela or no ke eno tsoreng khate. So the owner ba malata ko gae anala mapodisa or o tsore khate yaka, and then by a police station, they reached a deal. Yeah, or no, after we like Casey, we spent 1,000 rands, Mokati. So all our water 3,000 rands, about 4,000 rand, then the matter was over. But have police, I feel like I'm saying, they report to HR. HR then called her into the office, and then she was notified to come for a hearing.
Mm.
Now, what is not clear, or firstly, what was the charge? Because in the hearing, the owner of the card was never present to come and present, or it was issue of the card.
Mm.
Instead, a supervisor came to come and say, yeah, no, I know her. She is not honest anyway.
Mm.
I've been working with her. Then, on her way home, got taxi after the hearing. Hearing started at 9, around 10:30, she got a call from HR to say, you have been dismissed.
And she didn't get a dismissal letter.
No.
Just a call.
Ka phone, just a call.
Mm.
You've been dismissed. How? Just like that. Yeah. Just like that. Oh, okay. Then that's where she contacted me. Then I said, no, we'll deal with CCMA and stuff. Then subsequent to that, she then received another notification of hearing.
Mm.
Attend a debate hearing.
A what now?
A debate hearing, Bamu Pena, so to speak.
Okay.
You know, when you work for a financial institution,
mm-hmm.
there is this thing that they do to, if you are not honest and you work for a bank, and you steal money, and they block you, they blacklist you from working for a financial institution.
Mm-hmm.
So that debate hearing will need to take place next week on Monday. Now, I'm asking myself to say, because this matter had nothing to do with the workplace, and the honesty, it wasn't in within the workplace. Is it because she wasn't honest to a colleague on the outside? Because firstly, to me, they don't have a jurisdiction to even engage on that matter, because it didn't happen in the workplace. The police would have dealt with it. And now the police obviously agreed to the whole thing out of court by her paying out.
Yeah.
Now my question is,
ask you, Ismail?
Yeah,
just a quick one. Yeah. I think it's an important point. This call center, is it a financial institution?
Yes.
Mm.
You see,
it
that's
does
the
matter.
Problem.
It does matter.
Even if it wasn't, actually, unfortunately, there's so much case law that says that even if you are outside of working hours in anything, you're still a representative of your employer. So if you put your employer into a disrepute, they have the right to institute disciplinary proceedings. And such a thing, because it's theft at the end of the day, such a thing impacts negatively.
Let me also give you another example, Ismail. So I have my own personal issues. Now I work in a bank, and I have my own personal problems, and I get into debt. You would know that the company I work for, especially if it's a financial institution, can decide to review my employment because I have not handled finances accordingly. Even though I don't owe them money, it's me mishandling my own financial affairs. They will interfere in my employment because I came into this position being someone who can be held responsible for handling money. And I think
it's a question of ethics. Yeah.
And especially if you're handling the issues of money, you can't be trusted with money.
Correct.
And with this one, you are saying yes, the police dropped the matter, but in terms of the company's policies, you are dishonest, you steal, and also when it comes to money,
You're not trustworthy.
Yes.
I hear you.
So it really is not relevant whether it happened within the workplace or not, and especially because the colleague then brought it to the attention of the employer.
Therefore, it became their
business. Had the other person who was paid 3,000 decided not to do anything, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But here we are. So the only gripe I have is that the dismissal was done by way of a telephone call. That to me doesn't make sense because it's supposed to be
that one is gonna be challenged
because
even in the hearing, as much as she's been dismissed, I should think the opportunity for her to question
the witnesses
wasn't given, you see.
In that case, it means procedurally, it looks like it was unfair dismissal. And that one is always good to challenge, because if procedurally it was unfair, then the dismissal was unfair and she can claim for reinstatement.
Thank you, Sharp. All right, a quick one before we go. Anonymous on voice note.
I'd like to find out what are the consequences of absconding from a job. Are there any consequences if you just pack up and leave without resigning or just abscond? Are there any consequences to just absconding from a job?
If you don't want to go back, it means how about to go?
And they will dismiss you in your absence because they will issue a notice, actually, and they will give that 48 hours. And if you're not present, they will hold a hearing in absentia, and then they will dismiss you. And that's that. You may find you don't have any claim to the UIF or any claim to pension funds and provident funds, etc., etc. So rather just not do it. Just resign, handle, let things happen the way that they happen. Then those are the consequences that you may face.
Okay, before we go, I just want to tell you this. Folks, listen. So, the Department of Home Affairs has found prima facie evidence that Miss South Africa contestant Chidima Adetshina's mother, may have committed fraud. The department believes that Adetshina's mother may have stolen the identity of another South African woman when registering the birth. Home Affairs has broadened its investigation to identify and pursue other officials involved in the fraud. That and more tomorrow on Point of View. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back at 8.
And if you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.